Good afternoon. I, Joanna Stickles, CVAG clerk, on behalf of the chair, convene the executive committee meeting for Monday, June 28th. We received one email for the public hearing as public comment, and that will be given during that time in the meeting. We have not received any other written public comment. If there are any members of the public now that would like to comment on the closed session items, please raise your hand and we will take those comments. Regular session is scheduled to begin at 4:30. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to call a meeting to order for the regular session of the committee for the executive for CVAG at 4:30. Can we have roll call, please?
Blythe?
Present.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Present.
Indio? Present. Okay, thank you. La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Thank you. Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage? Riverside County First District? Present. Riverside County Second District?
I'm here.
Third District?
Here.
Fourth District?
Here.
And Fifth District?
Here.
Okay. Agua Caliente?
Here.
Cabazon?
Here.
Torres Martinez? Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Joanna. So with that, we'll move on to item A, which is a report on actions from closed session. Our legal counsel, could you jump in?
Mike, if you could unmute yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This regular meeting was called to order this afternoon at 4 o'clock. At that time, there were no public comments on the closed session agenda. The executive committee then recessed into closed session, during which time it discussed those items listed on the closed session agenda. There were no reportable actions taken by the executive committee in closed session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. And if we could get Mr. Mattis to lead us, that would be appreciated, sir. And we get the flag put up, we could all rise. Mr. Mattis, take it away.
Thank you, sir. Please place your hand over your heart and join me in pledging to our nation's flag. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America. To and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Mattis. Appreciate that. And with that, we'll move on to item C, which is the member roster, which we have. And then
Mr. Chair, we do have members from the city of Coachella and Torres Martinez present with us.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that. And then we'll move on to item A, which is public comments on agenda items. This time is set aside for members of the public to address the executive committee on agenda items and discuss with
other. Have a raised hand.
Is there anyone that has sent in an item to be read into record, Joanna, or anybody that would like to speak on this item?
We do have a written comment from Mr. Wallenstein, and he is here with his raised hand to speak.
Okay, thank you. You have 3 minutes to speak, sir. Welcome.
Let me just make sure.
Excuse me, this is Ken McVeigh. I'm acting as counsel for the hearing, and Mr. Wallenstein has made a request to be heard at the time of the hearing on the resolution of necessity. He's representing a Union Pacific, so he is entitled to speak during the actual course of the hearing.
So he's speaking on 6A then is what you're saying, sir. Okay.
That's correct.
Sir, we'll yield your time to 6A when we start our public hearing. Is that fine with you?
He's been moved to attendees.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else then, Joanna, that wants to speak on any items or anything that's been read in the record since then?
We have no other raised hands.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we'll move on to the chair and executive director announcements. I don't have anything other than it's been an honor to be your chair for this last year. Looking forward to the General Assembly and hopefully a great new year under our new leader, which will be from the city of Palm Springs. Christy, thank you for stepping up to the plate. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Kirk for his comments.
And I'll save my comments. We've got a lot of good news out there, I believe, and I'll save those for the General Assembly. We could share them with all your colleagues and your respective member agencies. I do want to remind, I know it's complicated to have all these Zooms in and out, and there'll be a separate Zoom meeting for the General Assembly at 6 o'clock. And you should receive, probably should have already have the link to get into that meeting, but we'll also send you a reminder at 5 p.m. So you could check your emails and log in through that 5 p.m. email. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Kirk. With that, we'll move on to public hearings. We're going to move on to item 6A now, which is the resolution of necessity to initiate eminent domain proceedings on two properties. Assessor parcels number 677-030-023 and 610-030-016 related to CV Links. Mr. Magagne is going to handle this, and this is receive the staff report, open a public hearing, and receive testimony and public comments, and then close the public hearing and do the recommended motions. This is at the time, you know, we're going to open up, and Mr. Magagne, you want to go ahead and start moving forward?
This is, again, Ken McVeigh. I'm going to be very briefly just explain what the process is involved here with respect to the two resolutions of necessity. And there are, as I indicated, two resolutions. Each are to be considered and voted on separately. But there are the same findings to be made with respect to the particular properties and parties involved. The first finding is that the public interest and necessity require the project. The second finding is that the project is planned or located in a manner that is most consistent with the greatest public good and the least private injury. The third finding has to do with finding that the property is necessary for the project. And the fourth finding is that the offer required under 7267.2 of the government code has been made. And after the conclusion of the hearing, you'll have the opportunity to vote separately on each resolution.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else before we open up the public hearing?
Not for council's point of view.
All right, thank you. So we're gonna open up the public hearing. This is a hearing on proposed resolutions of necessity for the acquisition of a right-of-way easement, certain real property, more particularly described as accessory parcel number 77030-023, located in the city of Palm Springs, and 610-030-016, located in the city of Mendel for CV Link. Multimodal transportation project conforms to the certified final environmental impact report, state clearinghouse number 20131110, an environmental assessment with findings of no significant impact for this dead project. So I'll call upon CVAG's legal counsel to explain the nature, which he has. And now I'll go to the clerk to confirm that notice of the public hearings were mailed to the affected property owners.
They were mailed, yes.
Okay. With that, we'll move on now with Mr. Magagne providing a report on the proposed findings of the resolutions of necessity.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Since 2011, you know, Coachella Valley Association of Governments has planned for the construction of CV Link along the top of the levees of the major stormwater channels in the valley. Back in June 24th of 2019, the executive committee approved resolutions of necessity to condemn properties back then, both private and allottee properties related to CV Link. And the purpose of the recommendation was to acquire real property for the construction and operation of CV Link. There are a few properties where CVAG is continuing to negotiate compensation for the properties, but overall has obtained easements to move forward with construction of CV Link. As you know, CV Link is well under construction of 13.47 miles in the cities of Palm Springs, La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella. City of Palm Desert is taking the lead on an additional 3.3 miles of CV Link. However, CVAG has once again recommending approval of resolutions of necessity to acquire real property for the construction of CV Link. And there's two properties in question. One is held in trust by the United States. It's for an allottee. And the other is owned by Union Pacific Railroad. An appraisal was done for the allottee property and an offer was made to the property owner, and CVAG and the consultant continues to work with the owner in good faith negotiations. CVAG is concerned that if we do not obtain this easement, CVAG will not have independent utility, lack connectivity, and have inadequate safety measures necessary for users of CV Link. The property owners have recently agreed to the terms of negotiation, but we don't have a final recorded grant of right-of-way. And that's important because we need that to submit to Caltrans to get a right-of-way certification so that we can go out to bid and construct the portion of CV Link. As for the Union Pacific Railroad property, that relates to the pathway going underneath the railroad. We're not impacting its operations at all. We're basically connecting to existing pavement that's already there underneath the railroad. We're just connecting to each side of that for CV Link. In addition, we've been working with Union Pacific Railroad Engineering Department for almost 3 years in trying to acquire this right of way. We even have an engineering agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad for them to review. We're paying them to review our plans. And they have recently still requested additional information. We continue to respond. We're responding on their third request of information now. We should be submitting that later this week. In addition, we did send an offer package to Union Pacific back in March of this year, and they've acknowledged receipt of it. However, representatives from UPR have said that they cannot negotiate with CVAG until we get through the engineering department. Well, as you can imagine, we've almost been negotiating with them for 3 years. And again, if we don't obtain this easement, it'll create a lack of connectivity on CV Link. We won't have the independent utility that's required by Caltrans. And it's disconcerting that we're not going to have adequate safety measures necessary for the users of CV Link. This will jeopardize the project and cause major delays, and also in terms of construction, and which will result in more time and money. Both properties are along the routes that were approved by the executive committee when they certified the EAR back in May of 2017. The properties to be acquired require no acquisition of structures, require no relocation. And as you know, CV Link has undergone an extensive environmental review for this project. And Ken mentioned the findings earlier today that we're requesting for you to approve. Those all relate to those resolutions of necessity. CVAG retained back in August of 2017, we retained the Riverside County Economic Development Agency to take the lead on our right-of-way acquisitions. And they obtained appraisals and made offers to both property owners for just compensation for the properties, for the easements. On the allottee, we've been very successful. Like I said, we do have an agreement, tentative agreement, but we need to get finalize that document with the BIA in order to get that easement. Again, for Union Pacific, until we get through engineering department, they will not consider our offer. We will continue to work and seek mutual agreement with both parties on compensation throughout this condemnation process. And in the event we could agree upon obtaining the easement, we will drop them out of that lawsuit. California eminent domain law provides that a public entity may not commence an eminent domain proceeding until the governing body has adopted resolutions of necessity, which resolution may only be adopted after the governing body has given each party with an interest in the affected property or the representatives reasonable opportunity to appear and be heard. And the findings, again, I mentioned, Ken mentioned those earlier. Those are the four findings. In terms of, as I mentioned earlier, CVLink has gone under extensive environmental review. To date, there's no new information related to the project that have been already evaluated that makes the existing conditions now worse than they were already analyzed back in the EIR when it was certified. All the mitigation measures that were adopted then still apply today. In addition, the environmental review, consultation, and any other actions required by applicable federal environmental laws for the project have been carried out by Caltrans. And Caltrans has certified their environmental assessment back on July 26th of 2018, and they approved a what we call a FONSI, which is an acronym for a finding of no significant impact. And that has been done and completed. In terms of acquiring property, money-wise, the cost related to the right-of-way for CVLink is covered under the project's funding, and there is funding available to acquire these properties. That concludes my staff report. If there are any questions, I'm open to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Magagne? All right. Thank you, Mr. Gagne, for your staff report. And then we'll move on now. I'll now ask the clerk to note all written objections and requests to be heard that have been received.
We have received one from Mr. Wallenstein, and we will allow him to speak.
Okay, thank you, Joanna. Now I invite any person with any interest in the Union Pacific Railroad property who wishes to be heard to come forward.
Yes, good afternoon to all of you. I'm Michael Wallenstein, on outside counsel for Union Pacific Railroad, as I have been for two decades now.
Can we clear the screen, please, yes, so that we can see everybody? Is Mr. Wallenstein visual as well?
I don't see myself.
Can you turn your camera on?
We've just promoted you. You should be able to turn your camera on.
There
we are. Thank you very much.
Now unmute yourself. There you go, sir.
Yes, happy to be here with all of you now. I'm a full human being. Let me just begin by saying, as a formal matter, Union Pacific objects to the project on two grounds. They're obviously related. And the first is that we don't believe the project is planned or located in a manner that is most compatible with the greatest public good and the least private injury. With an emphasis on the least private injury element. And relatedly, we don't believe that this property, and by that I mean the underpass, is necessary for the proposed project. But ultimately, I'm really here to urge all of you to reconsider the condemnation path and continue to work with Union Pacific along a negotiated path, really for the benefit of the project. Ultimately, we think that the condemnation proceedings are premature. This is really just an engineering problem above all else. CVAG's design team, I understand Mr. Magagne says there's been no negotiations for 3 years, but the first submittal of plans was just 1 year ago. And as all of you as public officials and servants can understand, approval of plans for a project like this involving a railroad by railroad standards within a year, and certainly by government standards as well, would be approval at light speed. So we're really just only partway through the process. About a month ago, the most recent set of plans had been submitted to Union Pacific and returned. They were not approved, but there were really just two issues outstanding. And the first was with respect to a canopy, which the design will include covering the right-of-way outside of the actual bridge there. And that's to obviously to protect the public from railroad debris and other things. It's an important aspect. But all that Union Pacific was looking for was a copy of the plans by which that canopy is to be constructed. And that had not been provided as yet. The second thing was a copy of a memo from the Coachella Valley Water District describing and I guess inquiring about the potential flood impacts on that canopy, and to make sure that the canopy would sustain the forces of a potential flood there. Any damage to the canopy could also cause damage to the right-of-way. But none of that information has yet been provided. The other information is with respect to the hydrologic characteristics of the proposed structure, and again, the mitigation of potential flood events. And that information is requested. I certainly take Mr. Magana at his word that it is forthcoming. But without that information, for obvious, you know, safety, public safety, and railroad safety reasons, Union Pacific cannot approve the project, because it just simply doesn't meet engineering standards. And without that approval, the project cannot be compatible with the most public good and the least private injury. Certainly, causing a project to be built in a manner that could be hazardous both to the railroad and to persons using the underpass is by definition great public injury that would not be mitigated. But by the same token, the property, and again, we describe that as the underpass, is not necessary for this project. It's our understanding that certain alternatives have been discussed with the CVAG design team, one of which includes using an overpass, which has its own engineering challenges, but not of the type that pertain to an underpass. But apparently that potential alternative is plausible to both sides. But here from a practical standpoint to all of you, as Union Pacific's public project team has tried to impress on CVAG, is that pursuing this litigation, this condemnation path, will almost certainly result in greater delay to the project than would be if all of you just pursue this negotiated work with Union Pacific's engineering team. The offer of compensation, in a situation like this, in this part of the world, is probably not going to be the main driver here. The main issue here is engineering. And I just want to encourage all of you, rather than going down the path of litigation, which creates its own issues and puts me in between all of you and the engineering team, will result in greater delay. And I just want to encourage you to, forbear for now. Let's let the engineering process, play out. And if there's a problem 6 months from now, you can certainly pursue this and file the lawsuit as you deem appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Now I'll reach out to staff or legal counsel. Do you have any responses? This is your chance to respond back for the Union Pacific question.
Mr. Magana should respond first.
Yeah, I could respond. Related to the plans, I mean, we have Mr. Wallenstein or Wallenstein. Wallenstein. We have submitted the canopy plans. We have submitted to Union Pacific. And they have responded back related to those plans. And the comment was, as you had mentioned, dealt with the hydrology, which is what we're responding to now. And we will provide a response back to engineering department this week. But they do have the canopy plans and their full engineered canopy plans that they had requested. And they do have that. In terms of the overpass alternative, we did also evaluate some alternatives. We did evaluate the overpass. We have independent utility on the south side of the bridge because of India Boulevard is right adjacent to the bridge. We don't have independent utility on the north side, and that's the purpose of having the undercrossing. We, in terms of the overpass, we didn't consider that a viable option. Number one, it wasn't included in the environmental impact report. And as you can imagine, an overcross visual impacts were not analyzed. And there are a lot of overhead utilities in that area. So on the northern side of the bridge, we might not have all the clearance we need to be under the overhead power lines. And again, just visually, the aesthetics would not be good. And so it's not feasible for us. Doing an overpass of a bridge over the railroad is very expensive. And we're basically going underneath where we're using the existing paved area from the railroad just to connect on either side of it. The other alternative was to force people on the roadway for about a mile to get back to the other side of the railroad over by the Coachella Valley Mosquito Vector Control District property. And that's just also not what CVLink was intended to do. It was intended to keep people separated from vehicles as much as possible, and railroads in this case. So we did evaluate those alternatives, and we did respond back to engineering staff about that. And their latest response was only related to the hydrology on our last submittal. So we're responding to that.
Thank you, Mr. McVeigh.
Mr. Magana, could you address the issue of how many submissions of plans have transpired?
Yeah, we have since August of 2018 was the first time we met with UPR, we submitted the plans to UPR. And that was just, it wasn't the canopy plans, that was just more the concept of the easement that we were requesting. We sent it to them again on March 19th, on April 19th, May of 2020, October of 2020, March of 2021. That's the latest one that we've submitted. And those have the more engineered drawings with the canopy. So we have at least six times submitted different plans to Union Pacific Engineering Department. And again, it's almost been 3 years and we still don't have approvals.
As counsel, I will just make a couple of legal comments in response to what you've heard from counsel for Union Pacific. In terms of the possible overpass project that was discussed, that would require an addendum to the EIR or some further environmental review. And also, counsel did refer to a six-month period, and I just want to clarify what I believe he's referring to, is that when a resolution of necessity is adopted, there's no obligation to immediately file an eminent domain action. And there's a six-month period under the eminent domain statute before such an action has to be filed. And I believe that's what he was referring to.
I know I'm not entitled, but I wonder if I might respond just briefly.
Okay, sir, I'll let you quick response and then we need to move on to the next.
Thank you, and I will be brief. And I certainly don't want, I take Mr. Magana at his words regarding the history, but I also don't want my words to be construed as inaccurate. It may be just a semantics issue. When Union Pacific receives information, that may be one thing, but it has only received in what it believes are plans, beginning originally, I believe it was in July of 2020, and there have been two subsequent submissions since that time. The information that I described as being outstanding, it may be a misunderstanding as well, as what is outstanding, but the most recent information is all that I have described is outstanding. And finally, in response to Mr. McVeigh's comment, the 6 months I was referring to is really a forbearance on all of you from even adopting the resolution of necessity. And again, the purpose of that is really to make sure that the discussions with the engineering department are not delayed by what is really the threat of eminent domain, which will occur upon the adoption of the resolution of necessity. And with that, I thank you all for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. And I know, I just want the record to reflect that Rancho Mirage and Mr. Ted Weil, the mayor, was here during the start of this. He just was not recognized, but he's been here since the start of this item. And Mr. Reed, I know you wanted to say something. Would you like to unmic?
Well, except my question was answered. My question was going to be, if we adopted the resolution of necessity, how long did we have to actually file a lawsuit? And I believe you said the answer was 6 months. So if that's my question's already been answered.
Thank you, sir. Just wanted to make sure that you got your comment in case it was something else. So with that, we'll now move on at this point to invite the person with any interest in the Latte property who wishes to be heard to come forward if there's somebody here. Okay.
So we have, well, we do have one raised hand.
Okay.
I will promote them in.
Thank you, Joanna. I didn't see that raised hand. Go ahead. You can unmic yourself.
Hello, can you see me or hear me? Can you hear me? This is Ollie Bial. I'm the superintendent for the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Palm Springs.
My name
is Ollie Bial. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, and we can see you.
Okay. I just had a question. I have a question on the Lati property 1023. So that I understand it correctly, this notice of notice of hearing, you have 6 months to receive the paperwork, and then after the 6 months, then you're going to file the condemnation action if you do not receive the paperwork from the Bureau of Indian Affairs by that time?
I'll refer that over to our legal counsel.
What I was referring to in terms of the 6 month time period has to do with what is provided under the eminent domain statute for all eminent domain actions. There is a 6 month period by which a condemning agency can wait before it files, but it can file immediately after the adoption of a resolution of necessity. But if it does not file within 6 months, then certain consequences develop, and it's not unique to this particular property. That's a general proposition.
Okay, so it sounds like there's already been agreement on this one allotment, and I know you all are waiting on other grants of easements where there have been settlements where you filed the other condemnation last year or the year before. So you're just waiting on paperwork, and it sounds like you're not going to, because that is also going to take up time and resources. If you do file an action on 1023, then that goes to our solicitor's office, and then there's time and resources spent on that. So to me, it sounds like if you already have agreement with those landowners, then it's just waiting on the BIA to give you the paperwork, and it would seem that this is unnecessary.
If I might comment, in every case where we are in a cooperative relationship, and that's certainly the case here, we will wait to the very last minute to file the paperwork, and we have every expectation to reach an agreement. And for that matter, for the Union Pacific as well, if we continue to move forward, we will delay to the very last minute filing paperwork. So that'll certainly be our approach here. We want to avoid any further condemnation related actions.
Thank you.
Anything else, ma'am? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Montagne, this will give you an opportunity if you have anything you'd like to speak on this from the Alati or our attorney, depending on which one, or if anything at all. Anything, Mr. Magana?
I have nothing on my end.
Okay.
I have nothing further.
Okay, thank you. Now I invite any members of the public who wishes to be heard to come forward. Anybody with a maximum of 3 minutes to be able to speak? Anybody, Joanna, who has put in a written request or has a hand raised to speak?
We have no written requests, and I do not see any hands raised.
Okay. Then now I'll invite the discussion among the executive committee. Is there anybody that has any questions, comments, or concerns on this? Go ahead and raise your hand. Mr. Lancaster, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions for Mr. Wallenstein. This railroad bridge already crosses a flood control channel, and it seems like there's already an inherent risk, and I'm not sure how the use of a levee under the railroad increases that risk to the railroad. Can you explain that, please?
I think we put him back in. Is he there,
Joanna? Oh, sorry.
You see him? Okay. We're moving him back.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. I got a couple more for him, too.
Okay, not a problem. We just want to make sure we can see him and him allowed to speak. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Lancaster, for your question. I should preface whatever response I can humbly try to give with the idea that I am not an engineer. I can express to you what I understand to be the issue. There are a couple of engineering issues that I understand. One is that the structure itself could have some impacts to the existing vents or supports for the railroad bridge. Obviously, all the flood hazards exist as they are, whether or not the project goes forward. With respect to the canopy, it's my understanding, and again, a layperson's understanding, that the canopy would create its own sort of flood hazards because it is not, it's a freestanding structure by engineering policy. It can't be attached to the railroad itself and create some issues related to debris catching, the potential for increased forces on the bridge, which could undermine the integrity of the bridge. So that's my best lawyer's response in reviewing the comments, which I'm sure Mr. Magana has gotten from the engineering team.
Okay, and did you mention that canopy is outside railroad right-of-way, or is it also included within the railroad right-of-way?
My understanding is it'll be at least partially within the railroad right-of-way. It's by design intended to be at least 30 feet on either side of the actual tracks. But that's a 200-foot right-of-way as a piece of congressional act land, as I understand it. So all or most of the canopy would be within railroad right-of-way.
Okay, second question is, you're asking us to forego the adoption of the resolution of necessity to allow the engineering process to continue its way forward. My question would be, are you in a position to commit to the end of that? I mean, you say 6 months, could be 12 months down the road. We could always come back and adopt a resolution necessity at that time. Is there any commitment on the railroad's part to concluding the negotiations?
Well, again, I can't speak. These are processes that are tried and true within the engineering group to make sure it's all done. And as you can all understand, it's really railroad safety and public safety that drive everything.
I understand.
So I'm not in a position to commit to anything other than, having worked.
Well, that's a no, and that process could go on forever, possibly.
It could, but as Mr. McVeigh said.
The last question I have is, how would the engineering review slow down if the resolution of necessity is adopted, as you indicated?
Well, being put into a litigation posture has, historically created more tensions. And as a result, well, you can imagine we're now in a litigation posture and need to prepare for litigation. So if the process continues just with the engineering department, that goes forward. Once the law department gets involved and the concerns about litigation get involved, other considerations come into play. Obviously, I can't disclose confidential information or litigation strategy, so I can only give you a broad answer. But, having done this for the railroad for 20 years, it's been my personal experience that the absence of a threat of eminent domain tends to facilitate projects more than the threat of eminent domain does.
Okay, thank you for your answers. That's all for me.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Chair Miller, just to provide additional insight here, Mr. Wallenstein is correct. The canopy is largely within Union Pacific right away. And just for further background, it's actually Union Pacific that proposed the canopy. So you can imagine the challenge and frustration that our team has. The Union Pacific has proposed the canopy, and now there are concerns that the canopy might have some hydrological or structural impact. So we'll continue to work with Union Pacific Railroad, but we do believe that this is one way to ensure some finality to these discussions and negotiations.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Any other comments or questions from the executive? Mr. Groovy, you got the floor, sir.
Good afternoon. I'd just like to comment on the allottee issue. We obviously, CBAG staff has notified tribal staff, and council doesn't get involved in a lot of issues. It's completely separate. We allow our members to do what they want with their land. And from my understanding, they negotiated well with CBAG staff, and everything has gone well. So I haven't received any complaints on that. So I do thank you guys for that. But I don't like the optics of eminent domain while you're working with the Lattes on that. I completely understand it. I know why sometimes things take longer, especially when you're dealing with the federal government. And nothing against Ollie, she does a good job. But I do understand that part of it, and you guys are protecting your interest, and you guys do have the authority to eminent domain Alati lands, just not tribal lands. So I completely get that. And I have got a couple questions from CVAG executive members asking my thoughts or opinions. So I appreciate that as well. So I just wanted to make note of that. I'm not accusing CVAG of doing anything funny or fishy or none of that whatsoever. It's the optics of it, though. I just don't like, especially, you know, being 2021 and everything else that we deal with in this day and age. So I'll abstain from that issue, obviously, but I just wanted to give everybody here on this call my personal opinion on it. So I do appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Chairman Groovy. And is there anyone else here that wishes to speak before I close the public hearing, or any questions of anybody, any thoughts? I don't see any hands up. Anyone else? Or once, going twice. Okay, I will close the public hearing, and we can now, if we have any closing comments or that, Mr. Kirk, do you have anything that we need to do or talk about?
No, you have the recommendations before you.
Okay. So now, is there a motion for adoption of resolutions and assessing number 21-001 as to the Union Pacific Railroad property? Would anybody like to make that motion?
So moved.
LaQuinta second.
Palm Desert and LaQuinta second. We're going to do a roll call vote on this so that we can get it in the record if we can. Joanna?
Yes. Blythe?
Aye.
Cathedral City?
Yes.
Coachella?
Coachella, aye.
Desert Hot Springs?
Aye.
Indian Wells?
Yes.
Indio?
Aye.
La Quinta?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Yes.
Palm Springs?
Yes.
Rancho Mirage?
Yes.
Riverside County First District?
Yes.
Second District?
Yes.
Third District?
Aye.
Fourth District?
Aye.
Fifth District?
Yes.
Agua Caliente?
Yes.
Cabazon?
Yes.
Torres Martinez?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we have a unanimous vote for passage.
Now we'll move on. Is there a motion for adoption of resolution of necessity number 21-002 as to a Lati property? Is there a motion and a second?
La Quinta, move approval.
First by La Quinta, a second.
Cathedral City seconds.
Cathedral City second. We're going to do also a roll call vote here also.
Blythe?
Aye.
Cathedral City?
Yes.
Coachella?
Aye.
Desert Hot Springs?
Aye.
Indian Wells?
Yes.
Indio?
Aye.
La Quinta?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Yes.
Palm Springs?
I will abstain as well for the city of Palm Springs in support of Chairman Gruby's comments.
Thank you. Rancho Mirage?
Yes.
Riverside County First District?
Yes.
Second District?
I'm going to also abstain for the same reasons as mentioned.
Okay. Third District?
Yes.
Fourth District?
Aye.
Fifth District?
Yes.
Aguacaliente?
I abstain.
Thank you. Cabazon?
Abstention.
And Torres Martinez?
Abstention.
The motion carries with 13 yes votes and 5 abstentions.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, everyone. We'll move on now to item number 7, which is the consent calendars, which is item A through H. Is there anybody that would like to pull any of the items, or is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull item F.
Okay. Anyone else pull anything? Okay. Do we have a motion for the rest of the calendar then?
Move approval of the remainder, Cathedral City.
Second, Torres Martinez.
Torres Martinez. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed or abstains? Okay, passes unanimously. We'll move on then to item F. Ms. Evans, what is it that you'd like to discuss?
I'd just like to do a separate vote because I will not support the process of multi-year agreements. Our council has traditionally not approved multiple year agreements with or without a budget process in place. And I understand the rationale behind it, but I'm not going to support it.
Okay, noted. Anybody else have any comments on item F? Okay, if not, then do we have a motion for item F?
Move approval, Cathedral City.
We have a second.
Palm Springs second.
Okay, we have Palm Springs second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed and abstain other than Ms. Evans?
Opposed, yeah.
Okay, so it passes with one opposition for Ms. Evans. Thank you. Duly noted, Ms. Evans. Thank you for your comments. With that, we'll move on to discussion items. And now is the CVAG officer rotation for 2021-2022. Joanna and Mr. Kirk, are you handling?
Chair, you don't even need a staff report, I believe, on this. I think it's pretty straightforward. You have staff's recommendation, and if you need more background, Joanna or I could provide it. The staff recommendation is to nominate the representative from the City of Palm Springs to serve as your chair for next year, and the representative from the City of Coachella to serve as your vice chair.
There we go. We have that out for the resolution. Does anybody want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
All right, we have Torres Martinez. Do we have a second?
Cathedral City.
Cathedral second to City. We don't need a roll call vote, I don't imagine. Do we all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, anybody opposed or abstain? All right, well, congratulations to everyone and to looking forward to working under both of you, Mr. Hernandez, Ms. Halstich, very much. Congratulations. So with that, then we'll move on to the next item, which is the fiscal year 2021 budget. Mr. Kilgore, are you handling this for us, sir? It's the approved resolution number 21-03, adoption CVAG's 2021 fiscal year annual budget, salary schedule, and allocated positions.
That's right. Yes, I'll just take a minute of your time here. Good afternoon, admirable committee, and of course, favored members. Well, at your last meeting earlier this month, I presented the fiscal year 21-22 proposed budget, and I walked you through its figures in detail. We also reviewed the really wise direction provided by both the personnel and finance subcommittees to arrive at the budgeted figures. And since then, CVAG staff has been available for questions and encouraged additional feedback to further incorporate in the budget. Having received no additional questions or comments, Mr. Chair, I now ask you to solicit a motion from your fellow committee members to adopt Resolution 21-003, CVAG's fiscal year 21-22 budget. And committee members, upon your affirming vote, the budget will be presented to CVAG's General Assembly. I'm available if you have any questions. Otherwise, the recommendation is to adopt the budget.
All righty. Any questions for Mr. Kilgore? He's done an excellent job of presenting the budget to us. I think we talked about this. If not, if there's no comments or questions.
Looking to move approval.
Quinta is the first. We have a second.
Cathedral City second.
Cathedral City jumped in the second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed or abstain? All right. Pass unanimously. Thank you very much. Kilgore, thank you for your very detailed budget and your enthusiasm. It's very infectious. Next, we'll move on to interim employment agreement with Katie Burrows as a retired Knowlton. Mr. Kirk, it says here to approve resolution 21-004 and the employment agreement with Katie Burrows on the terms described below as interim deputy director of Desert Community Energy.
Yeah, and that is a staff recommendation. And this is a bittersweet staff report for me. For those of you that sit on the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission, you know, I almost got teary-eyed, which doesn't happen very often, thinking about Katie Burrows and her commitment to this valley and what she's done for CVAG and the Mountains Conservancy before that. And for a year or two, I've been convincing successfully Katie not to retire when she wanted to. She finally got her way, of course, and she plans on retiring September 1st. But I really need her, and CVAG needs her, at least in certainly with one respect, and that is to help us with Desert Community Energy over the next year. The staff report says a year. I've actually pushed that out to December of next year. And with your approval, we would be allowed to have her continue to help us on a part-time basis as a retired annuitant. I know all of you in public agencies, of course, are used to seeing this with CalPERS requirements. She wouldn't get benefits, but she would get paid her current, essentially, salary on an hourly basis. And with that, you see a little bit of Katie's successes at CVAG. She's brought in a lot of energy dollars to help our community save electricity, money, and help with greenhouse gases. She's done a phenomenal job with a multiple species plan. And she certainly will be missed on that front, but I know she plans on staying here with her husband at least part-time and at least during 6 or 7 or 8 months of the year, perhaps not future summers where she might be spending it in a cooler part of the world called Flagstaff. With that, I have my recommendation, which is again bittersweet, and I know Katie Burrows is here as well. Hopefully we've got her video on as well if you want to call on her to say a couple words.
Absolutely. Katie, would you like to say a few words to us? Good to see you, as always.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Tom and everyone. I'm just going to make this very brief. It's just been a huge pleasure for me to work with all of you and CVAG for all these years. It's exciting to see all the great things that are happening. Obviously, the environment is my passion, and I see the work that you're all doing, your leadership, carrying that forward. So thanks very much. I appreciate it, and I'll be still enjoying all the great things that are happening here in the Coachella Valley. Thanks.
Thank you.
Still obviously working with Palm Springs and others on DCE. Okay, thank you.
A motion?
Move to approve.
All right, Ransom Raj, we have a second?
Second, Coachella.
Second.
Coachella's second.
Aye.
Say aye.
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 Anybody opposed?
Aye. Don't
care. Okay. Thank you, Katie. Thank you for agreeing to come back and give us a hand, and that we appreciate it. With that, and passing unanimously, we'll move on to item D now, which is additional funding for improvement of Avenue 50 between Calhoun Street and Cesar Chavez in the city of Coachella. Mr. Hoy is handling this, and this is the approved amendment number one to the reimbursement agreement between CVAG and the city of Coachella for improvements of Avenue 50 between Calhoun Street and Cesar Chavez, formerly Harrison Street, increasing the total regional funding to and not to exceed the amount of $6,937,500.
Move adoption.
Okay, anything else?
Second.
All right, so we've got a first and a second. All those in favor, unless there's any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you very much. There you go, Mr. Hernandez. Good luck on the rest of your project and that. Very quick and easy. Move on to item E now, which is the contract amendment with Alta Planning and Design for CV Links. Mr. Hoy is handling this too. This is authorized executive director to execute amendment number 9 to the agreement with Alta Planning and Design for a total not to exceed the amount of $570,211.
Move adoption.
Contingency.
Into second.
Okay, we got first and second, and authorize the executive director and or the legal counsel to make the clarifying changes, revisions before its execution. We have a first and a second. One by Indian Wells, second by La Quinta. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Rancho Mirage abstain.
And Rancho Mirage with one abstention. Anybody else abstain or vote no? No? Okay, it passes with one abstention to Rancho Mirage as noted. And then with that, we'll move on to item 9, which is informational. Items A through E, you can look at that at your pleasure. And if there's any questions, ask staff, Mr. Kirk, or anybody that's involved with those actual reports. And then with that, we'll move on to item 10, which is legislative items. Is Ms. Sassy there? Yes, she is. Ms. Sassy, the floor is yours.
Good evening, Chair, committee members. It's nice to see all of you tonight. I know we have the General Assembly, so I'll try to be a little bit more brief than I am at times. It does look like the legislature and the governor have come to a budget agreement. I know I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. The budget agreement is kind of a framework. They'll have a lot of items listed in it, but the details and many of the items will have to be sorted out in the various budget trailer bills. But there are a couple items I do want to highlight for you. Part of the budget does extend the residential eviction moratorium to September 30th. They're funding this to make tenants whole and the landlords whole with some of the federal funding. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because there was a new bill, AB 823, that was just gutted and amended. And this bill does have a little bit of an impact on cities. So it would prohibit cities and counties from adopting new eviction moratoria from now through March 2022. You can have what you already have in place. Those can stay in effect, but you won't be able to change or make any new eviction policies under this. And part of this is that they're still going to fund the tenants and the landlords because they referenced that they would have to have applied to be reimbursed through the federal funding. But you do need to watch that if you're looking at having some additional moratoriums or some changes to your existing policies. It will likely move really fast. So if you have opposition to this, make your voices heard as soon as possible. Also in the budget, it does look like there will be $3.75 billion for broadband for the middle mile network access. So this is definitely something that's good news. This is something we've been advocating for. So definitely positive. We've heard mixed reviews on whether or not there'll be the $250 million that we requested to help with your organic waste implementation, SB 1383. The author, Senator Laird, of the bill that's moving forward, SB 619, did present his bill in committee last week. It made it out with 9-0, and now it goes to appropriations. And in his comments, he did specifically say that if funding is not included in the budget, he may propose amendments to get funding into his bill. So we're watching that very closely. I know a lot of people testified last week. It seems to be doing really well in the legislature, but definitely not a done deal. So I'll keep making sure that we support that. A lot of the housing bills are still moving forward. The one that I know I sent out an action alert on recently, and that many of you have sent letters in, is AB 215. This one is kind of one of these tricky ones because it would take a while to be implemented, to start, to go into effect. But really this puts you at odds with HCD. So if in the midpoint of your RENA cycle, if you are considered to be a low progress city in our region, then they could have punishment for you for not being at an adequate place for your RENA numbers and for your housing production goals. So I definitely recommend that you look at this. I know I've sent out an action alert, but if you haven't submitted a letter of opposition, you should definitely do so. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions, but stay tuned for on all of the budget negotiations in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Ms. Sassy. Any questions for Ms. Sassy or Ms. Holstich? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Erin, I just have a question on the first item for the moratorium on eviction. Does that apply just to residential or also commercial? I know the state didn't touch commercial eviction moratorium, and so the city of Palm Springs passed one, and I'm wondering if that applies to us.
My understanding it's just residential, but since it's gotten amended, I will double check that because it could, you know, they'll have to wait for the language to be exactly in there.
Thank you. It sounds just like residential, but could you let me know if not?
Yeah.
Any other questions, Ms. Sassy, or anything? All right. Thank you, Aaron, for your updated report. We'll see you at the General Assembly. With that, we'll move on to public comments and non-agenda items. Joanna, anybody that's put in anything or wishes to speak?
We see no raised hands, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. With that, the next executive committee meeting will be September 27, 2021 at 4:30. And it looks like it's going to be in the CVAG suite pending state guidelines and finalization of logistics. Obviously, we have the General Assembly in a few minutes. Thank you for all that you do. We'll see you in a few minutes. And this meeting will stand adjourned. And don't forget to jump on the other link for the General Assembly. And we'll see you then.